Psalm 28, 29, and 30. Knock out three psalms today, Lord willing. Probably the most time we're going to spend is in the first one, so don't get nervous. How did Tom do in the moose call? Any moose reports? I think it was online.
Yeah, he put it up. They didn't win. They both did it.
They both did it?
Yeah, they both did.
Oh, wow. We're in the songbook of the Bible. The Bible comes equipped with many things. It's like you're opening up a storehouse of treasures. It's got a built-in songbook all to its own. It's like those RVs and campers. Everything is inside there. You get in there and, wow, there's a little refrigerator. There's a little stove. There's beds. There's little tables. There's a heater. There's all these things all built into that. So we open this book. This seems like a book, but there is a whole bunch of things in here, elements for us to live by. Songs are certainly important for us. They're part of our praise and worship. They're part of our expression to God of what's going on inside of us, getting it out, and allowing God to minister to our hearts. This isn't a once-a-year type of thing for a believer. This is an everyday type of thing where we seek the Lord, we thirst for Him. In different ways, different circumstances come. We all go through suffering. We either are going into a storm or in it or coming out of one. You know, that's the life that we live down here. Psalm 28. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray you bless it upon our eyes and ears this morning, Lord Jesus. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. In other words, that die. Lord, if you don't hear me, I'm going to die. So this is a very desperate prayer happening, a Psalm of David. If I were to title these three psalms together, I have two different titles. I couldn't decide which one, so I'll give you both. The first one is Rock and Roll. It begins here about the rock. O Lord, my rock, here, verse 1. And then we're going to see at the end of Psalm 30 there, he talks about dancing. And so we're getting to that place of actually being mobile, being set free, being in a place of actually dancing, praising the Lord. So Rock and Roll, or High Praise for the first title. The second title would be How We Win. How do we win? How do we win this battle that is in front of us? How does this mountain disappear? So you get to pick the title if you want. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me, lest, or unless, if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down in the pit. I'm going to die. Life is the pits without you, Lord. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle or sanctuary, the place of God's dwelling, wherever, the face of God. A lot of times we think of lifting up your hands as somebody that's during a worship service, they're just loving on God. So they're lifting up their hands in praise toward God. That's a pretty common thing that we think of lifting their hands. But have you ever lifted your hands when you were praying in the depths of despair here in the pits? Have you ever lifted your hands when you were in the pits? In the armpits of Satan or whatever. Whatever this David was in here, he was in the pits. I'm going to die if I don't hear from God. It was that desperate. So another title might be The Voice of the Lord, especially from what Terry mentioned just a few minutes ago, because that's going to be right in the center of our teaching today, is the voice of the Lord. That is so important to us, to hear the voice of the Lord. And for David, it was as if he was going to die if he didn't hear from God. I could definitely identify with this. And it's exactly that. It feels like you're going to die. It's almost like an anxiety attack, but it's not. It's a type of thing where you grieve the Spirit. The Spirit is grieved in a situation in your life or whatever it is, and you feel that communication has stopped between you and the Lord. People call it a dry place or whatever. For me, it's to this level of desperation as David was. And I've shared that with Gretchen before, and here's an example of that in the Psalms, where it's like, wow, I feel totally separated from God. And it's not like God has let me go. It's that, like, that communication is not happening right now. And I sense it. So it's a powerful thing that happens, and I do not like it. I don't like it at all. And so, hands up, I surrender. What's going on? I need to get in the presence of God. If the lost live like that all the time, we need to get the gospel out, folks, because that's a horrible thing, to be out of communication with God, not hearing the voice of the one that created us, and just spinning out in outer space. You're going to have to find something to fill that gap. You're going to need to find alcohol. You're going to need to find something, sex, drugs, TV, pornography. You're going to need to find something to deal with that emptiness when that communication's been broken. So thankfully, it only happens in short episodes for me. And the most recent one was I was looking up this one particular street evangelist that I wanted to be more like. When I'm out on the streets, I wanted to have what this guy was doing and experiencing, a lot of miracles and healings and things like that. You were watching it with me. But after, I watched through the whole thing, and I was like, God, I want to have that kind of power that this guy is demonstrating. But that was one of the times after that I felt that communication silence. And another word there of that silence is a deafness that's happening. And it's like this eerie deafness between you and the Lord. If you've been walking with the Lord, you almost take for granted that communication that's happening all the time. And in Psalm 19, we kind of talked about that, the heavens declaring the glory of God. Everywhere you go, God is always like speaking to you. We can kind of take it for granted until that it goes silent. And it's like, whoa, my life source just feels like it got cut off. Even though he hasn't let go of me, I can sense that there is a grieving happening, and God didn't want me to see that. He didn't want me to watch that. He didn't want me to emulate whatever that was, or to feel like I needed to be like that person that I saw. So praise God, that was an answer to prayer. But I don't like it when I get that type of silence. But it's a clear answer anyway. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift my hands toward thy holy oracle or sanctuary. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. A lot of our songs today had to do with the heart. I noticed that all through the music today was about the heart. But here we see that duplicity going on in people around us, that there's workers of iniquity. They speak peace, but yet there's wickedness, mischief in the heart. So give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands, rendered unto them or pay back to them their just desert, their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Notice what's happening here. We went from present tense of dying in the pits to now the Lord is my strength. How long do you think this took place in the Psalm 28? The song was written. You think it was an hour? I think it was a day. I think it was a long night leading into the morning. I think it was a year, lifetime. But you see a transition happening here of tense, of the present tense going on. I'm dying, Lord, and now something is happening. Something has clicked, and now the Lord is my strength. That communication is opened back up. And praise God when that happens. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise him. So David clues us in what the process was in this hour-long, this night struggle, this year struggle, whatever it was. He gives us a snapshot of it there in verse 7, that the Lord is my strength because my heart trusted in him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. So his heart began to trust in the Lord in this situation. Even though there was silence, He had to go to a place of faith. Even when the sensory things aren't happening, and you don't feel God or sense Him, that's when you really need to trust. That's when you put on that seatbelt of trust and buckle up and go on for the ride. I'm going to buckle in here. My heart's going to trust Him. I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoices. In my song will I praise Him. The Lord is their strength. Notice even a shift from me to them happening here. From the Lord, fry them in the frying pan. Lord, save me from dying. So the Lord is my strength. The Lord is their strength. You see a little turnaround happening here? The Psalms are replete with this. They're filled with this. These are the testimonies of believers. The song books that we sing about, the songs that are up on the wall here that we sing about, are the testimony of a Christian believer. That we go through these times of crying out to the Lord, feeling this deafness and silent, and we come to a place of strength, even being delivered from self, and even believing strength unto other people. That's a successful day right there for this psalmist, this song. From feeling like you're dying, you're dry, you've been isolated, you're cut off, to the Lord being your strength, your heart rejoicing, and then saying, hey, the Lord is their strength too. Those people that I was just judging in that kind of situation. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, that's shepherding, and lift them up forever. So a good corollary or relation to Psalm 23, Terry, there, is the shepherding in that verse. Save thy people, bless thine inheritance, shepherd them, feed them, lead them beside the still waters, pasture them with the green grasses, lift them up forever. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. This is a healthy believer right here. Psalm 28 is a healthy believer. I always think of this German girl. It comes back in my head. She was an exchange student sitting in our living room, invited by her daughters over, saying, What did it look like to be Christian? This is it, Helena. Psalm 28. This is it. Yeah, sometimes we feel like we're going to die. And life is the pits. If we don't hear, it's like, God, I can't go another breath. I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you now, God. I need to hear from you, God. That's a strong Christian. That's not a baby believer. That's normal Christian life. It's maturity. Reaching out to God. Lifting up your hands, not just because you're praising the Lord and you're having, rejoicing because you're surrendering. You're surrendering in that situation. You're surrendering in that situation. You're lifting up your hands and just doing surrender to God. You're humbling yourself before God in whatever that situation is. Going out this morning, what a beautiful morning. I don't know if anybody got to walk around a little bit, but I was walking around. It's like, I'll go down to the beehive and just watch God's creation going in and out of the beehive and praise the Lord. And I get down there and there's worms coming out, maggots crawling out of there. It's like, oh no, got hit by the wax moth. Did they come in? They come in just a matter of days, they wreck a hive and totally, totally devastate a hive. So the hive is completely gone. So I felt sort of this situation happening, and it's like, you feel like just like the pits. You go through a process. This is normal life. Things happen. And I'm not going to go, oh, the Lord, praise God, my hive, that the kids painted the boxes for, we worked hard for, we paid money for the things and all this stuff, some wax moth eats it in 3 days. The whole hive is gone. A bunch of wax moth. No, I felt like the pets. I went out, beautiful morning, and just, Lord, show me something awesome. The pets. You feel like, oh, man, life stinks. Why do these things happen? And then you feel violated a little bit. It's like, man, that thing had no right. Does it realize all the work that went into that and the effort and we were hoping for good things and all that stuff, and then there's just worms and destruction and worm poop? So I walked around a while, not able to really, this kind of feeling that silence, not to the level of that other example I gave, but just feeling that silence, feeling that pits kind of stuff, like, why did this just happen? I feel violated. I don't feel very good. And coming around, maybe it took 15, 20 minutes of feeling sorry for myself and life stinks and all of this stuff. But you know, it's maybe not say it verbally, but you feel it. You feel it. You feel like, man, this is crummy that this thing happened. And I know a lot of worse things happen, and I'm not trying to be a baby here with a pacifier, but it's just a simple example of something that happened very recently. And but the cool thing was getting up back on the hill and thinking about God is like just started lifting my hands and surrendering. I'm just surrendering to the situation, Lord God. Well, that wasn't the first thing I did. I went into the house and I researched Wax Mouth. How can I get these buggers and buzzards? I'm going to get them back. I'm going to kill them. You know, this is never going to happen to me again. So I go out and I'm just surrendering, hands up in the air. And I was like, wish I had a seat here. And then I forgot. There's a big rock in the garden. This guy, I crawled right up on the rock, tucked my feet up, and just lifted my hands up in surrender. And the peace, and his peace came to me, and his love. And it's okay, Paul. That's okay, Paul. I love you. You know, just the presence of God came back. His communication came back, you know, instead of me just, this stinks, this, you know, and all of this is that goes on. Just from Wax Mouth, it happens. I was ashamed a little bit even. It was just like, how could I let that even for 15 or 20 minutes just take away from, you know. That's the reality, isn't it? It's the reality of a believer, even a mature, whatever, in-between believer, all the way up. You know, it's the reality that we feel these things. The duration of Psalm 28 is the question and the challenge. Do I go the rest of my life and forget I'm never going to do these again? Never. Never. Don't say that word.
Can I call you honey?
So I can get bitter. And I can, my whole life can be this. Finally Psalm 28, you know, and finally get right with God at the end of my life and kind of thing like that. Or it can be just 15, 20 minutes of working through something. Do you have a testimony?
Yeah. Because last time I had a testimony, I didn't tell you until after.
Oh, that's okay.
I speak up. So this morning I was, oh man, I was in a good mood. I'm so excited about tonight. And then Bree I was talking to her. And randomly, I put myself in such a horrible place. I was like, so, any plans to come home soon? I can't ministry stuff. And so my mind starts spinning, like how the boys haven't been here for over a year. They're not gonna know what it's like to be at Grim Nana's and Papa's house. And just, oh, it got uglier and uglier. So I sat out in the parking lot. I'm like, I can't go in there and lead from a place of victory. I can't do it. So I was sitting in my car when we got there. And I came in at like 1 minute up. So I just opened up the Word. I'm like, Lord, I need you for this. I can't. This is stupid. I recognized it exactly for what it was. It was an attack. You know, I'd say Satan's a jerk, but I really put myself there. I don't want to give him that much credit and that much control in my life. And I had a choice to do the same thing. Surrender, worship, get my heart right, turn my eyes on him. Because it was terrible. She can't help it. You know, that they can't get here, but yeah, that's my story. And he did, he gave me victory. I was able to walk through the door and feel his joy, and done deal, over.
Praise God, thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. A little clue here in Psalm 28 of what the offense might have been for David. Quite often it was other people. It wasn't wax moss in a beehive, typically for David. It was people situations, more like what Gretchen was sharing. And you see the clue of that in verses 3 through 5, draw me not away with the wicked, the workers of iniquity, speaking, they're double-hearted, there's something else going on in their heart, even though they speak peace. And having that anger, you see, they give them, pay them back in verse 4. Give them according to their deeds, that anger rising up. Now, David is really useless at this point in 4. He's working through something, but he's not hearing from the Lord. He's just working through this situation, an issue. Hopefully only 15, 20 minutes and not a lifetime. Verse 5 there, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy. So that's a lifting up the hands right there. Instead of like commanding curses over people and anger, it's he shall. That's up to God. That's part of the surrender, him lifting it up. I'm going to bring that more into a focus from the new covenant perspective here as we go into Hebrews 10 and a little bit of James. So let's, if you want to turn there, you can. Or just relax and let me read it to you. Hebrews 10. Let's pick up at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. Folks, the issue is always about the blood of Jesus. It's always about getting to that place with the Lord, getting our heart sprinkled. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Jesus died for us. That's what he's talking about. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That's that getting all boogered up from because something bad happened. Things didn't go your way. Having your hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near. There's a little bit of a wilderness wanderings. I'm going to Google wax moss. I'm going to get back at this situation. I'm going to putter and mutter and feel sorry for myself. There's a process happening here. The fastest we can draw near, though, with a true heart and full assurance of faith, that means arms up in the air, surrendering to God. It's not just praising God, it's surrendering to God. Drawing near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another, provoke another to good works. And we can do that once we've been healed for whatever's going on. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now over to James, please. Some things that parallel possibly what David was going through, where he felt that he was in the pits. He certainly was offended. His heart was stricken with that offense, that burning. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Where do wars and fightings come from? Come they hence even of your lust at war within your members? Definitely your heart. Ye lust and have not, ye kill, desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight in war. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is enemy of God. That's the world's ways. That doesn't mean you go out and kick the dog at the corner there because you're enemies with the world. That's the world's ways. There's a way about the world. That's coveting, wanting what the neighbor has, wanting everything. That's the way of the world. That's adultery with God. God wants to be that number one in your life where you're content and you're satisfied. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy, that God wants, jealously desires to be in that place that he rightly deserves? But he gives more grace, as in verse 6, where he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. There's the hands up again. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Surrendering to God. Do it. Try it. Maybe you've never prayed that way. You've put your hands together, you've closed your eyes. Maybe you've never prayed with open arms. reaching up high, crying out to God. He'll bring that rock right under you as you do that. Here's the promise. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. That's the devil. Draw near to God. Hands up. He will draw near to you. You'll feel that rock come under you. You will sense him again, even though he's never left you, because the booger's been blown out of your nose, because all the junk has been removed out of your heart, because the blood's been sprinkled upon you. You're no longer spiraling and spinning. You've drawn near to God, and now you can sense that rock that's always been underneath you. Now you can feel the firmness of it and actually have clean thoughts. You can have now start thinking about others with right thinking. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And that's exactly where we can be when our heart is really boogered up with these kind of things. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. This is a type of repentance. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Folks, this is a process that I'm describing this morning of lifting your hands up and being in surrender and getting real with God and getting truthful with God, allowing him to deal with your heart and being honest before him. Instead of being violated that your beehives got hit, instead of being violated that your car got hit, that your family plans got hit, instead of feeling violated, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Raise up your hands and just surrender to him. Surrender to him, that situation. I give it to you, God. I'm not gonna stew and brew on it anymore. And it can take some intense prayer, folks. I'm not talking about little prayers as you're driving along in the car or something. I'm talking about intense closet prayer. Hands up, out in the dark, walking around. God, take it from me. God, take this anger from me. It's going to kill me. I'm going down in the pits, God. I'm going to lose it. I'm going down, God. I surrender this to you, God. Take my heart. It's afflicted. It's doubled. It's messed up, God. It's boogered up. Take it. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law. This is the heart of the issue, folks. The issue of the heart right here. This is it. Speaking not evil one of another, brethren. David was doing this. You notice in that psalm. He was like, those guys. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law. You put yourself in the place of God. That's the problem with judgment. That's the problem with it. It was a lie that's as old as Genesis. The fruit looked good to make one wise. To make one like God. And judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, as we're supposed to be, but a judge. We're being God instead of being obedient to his law. There is one lawgiver. There's just one. And it's not me. It's not Paul. It's not me. I don't have a right to judge my brother and sister. I don't have that right. I don't want to play God. God, you have that position. I surrender it to you. Here's another arms up. There's one lawgiver. I'm not going to be it. No more. No more. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy, to pass judgment. Who art thou that thou judgest another? Man, there's freedom there. There is freedom there. To get off of that lousy throne, man, that's a tough place to live. Satan would have us live there to be like God. Stay there. Stay there. Stay on that seat. There ain't no life there, folks. Back to the Psalm, Psalm 29. Psalm 29, man, I'm telling you right now, this is a place where this person is free. There's nothing but God in this. This little tiny 29, this little song is like the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Everything is the Lord. The Lord's back on the throne. It's not me and my issues and my pity and my waxworms. It's not about me anymore. It's God. All of a sudden, God is being magnified. And I forgot to bring my magnifying glass, but I got glasses here. It's not like God is really tiny and he needs magnification. It's where I have made him. I've made him tiny in these issues and these rocks of offense that I'm carrying around like a burden. Oh, that person offended me. Oh, I can't believe those wax moths. Ah, you're carrying around these burdens because you're a judge. Get sprinkled before the Lord and his throne. Throw up your arms and allow that sprinkling of the blood that said, I paid for all of your sin. I love you, and I'm going to love you for eternity. I've got a grip on you for eternity. I love you. I was born in a manger, in a stinky manger, in a feeding trough for you. I lived a perfect life for you. All of a sudden, the Lord is being magnified to David and to me in my situation. He sits me on that rock. Now give unto the Lord all you mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It's a beautiful place to be, sitting on that rock, just listening to God. No longer worried about the things and being offended because I've cast those cares upon him. That's his issue. He has to judge those situations, and he'll do it right. I believe and trust in him. My heart's trusting in him now. I'm in a place. I'm in a solid place. It's the beauty of holiness. I'm giving grace to God. I'm giving thanks to God. I'm giving strength to God. I'm giving glory to God. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. You know that David didn't have all of the, he didn't even have Proverbs because that would come through his son Solomon. He didn't have much to go on. What's he got? Just turn back here. He's got Job. What's he got here? He's got water to look at. He's got the creation around him. The Bible is just being constructed here. The songbook is just being put together. What an exciting time. But he hears the speaking of the Lord all around him regardless. The voice of the Lord is powerful in verse 4. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. These are 200 foot tall trees. There's still a few left in Lebanon. They quit bombing over there. Yes, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. That could be lightning. That could be volcanoes. There's different interpretations. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. Earthquakes. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds, the calf, give birth. And he discovers the forest. In his temple does everyone speak of his glory. All of creation declaring the glory of God. That's what's happening as David is now sitting on the rock. It's no more about his enemies. It's no more about carrying around that load of anger and I've got to deal with the situation. This is God's now. Cast my cares upon him. The Lord sits upon the flood. The Lord sits upon the flood. Stop being underneath the flood, being washed away and drowning. God bless the people in the Carolinas. And you see the things happening above the flood. People carrying dogs above the flood, out of the houses. All right, that's where we need to focus. The things that are on above the flood, the good things that are happening above the flood, above the flood. The Lord sits upon the flood. That's above the flood. Yes, the Lord's sitting king forever, and that's where he needs to be. Stop excusing him off the throne and kicking him off. The Lord sits king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Hallelujah. Powerful. Psalm 29 is powerful. We have time to read Psalm 30, but it's short. We're just going to basically read it. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my enemies to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. So some elements here now. Walking in strength. Going from the rock now being in that firm place to being a place of now rolling. Now I'm rolling. I'm grooving. I'm dancing with God. This is the victory dance, and it certainly was. It was a time of celebration. It says in your title there, dedication of the house of David. We walk or we run or walk or whatever, sometimes crawl that victory lap where Jesus says he's paid it all for us, and we're all of us in this church are in that victory lap. We need to pick each other up and we forget it, right? The first couple of verses has to do with testimony. So a healthy walk now, you see now giving testimony. You hear the testimonies coming out. O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my enemies to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. Testimony. O Lord, thou hast brought my soul from the grave. Hast thou kept me alive that I should not go to the pit? God was faithful to show up. You could connect verse 3 there to verse 1 in Psalm 28 where he was feeling the pits. You will be in those places. That's going to happen. That's part of our life. But realize that you're also going to end up in here where you're going to have testimony that God rescued me out of that pit. Once again, for the millionth time, God rescued me out of this pit. And those cycles will get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter, and they disappear. That's the whole idea. Instead of a year being angry at somebody, a minute, okay? That's the idea here. You've rescued me out of that pit. Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of his. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. The best kind of worship leader is a lead worshiper, somebody that simply is worshiping and praising the Lord, really, out of a heart, worshiping the Lord God. That's the best kind of worship leader, not somebody that knows music and notes and has instruments and has talent. That's really not what it's about. That's a big help. But it's somebody that's actually leading worship, is actually worshiping. Sing unto the Lord, all you saints. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. This is the rolling part now. We got the rock and now we're rolling. For his anger endures but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved or be shaken. Statements of faith. Those are good to have. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face when I was troubled. And I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood or my life when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. That's like clothed me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee. So all these testimonies that he's talking about now in this victory dance that David is doing, all these things sing praise to God. They give praise to God. And not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. So just a few elements there just to touch on in Psalm 30. The testimony should be now flowing out of us and can flow now that we're no longer constipated spiritually because of offense and different things that have happened. We've had a smooth move happen. That's pretty gross, Paul. But it's the truth. It's pretty gross what's in our heart when we are occupying where God is supposed to occupy. Testimony now flowing. That's a good sign. Leading worship. Just spontaneous worship. Integrity and identity in verse 6 and 7 there. Not being moved. My mountain standing. Integrity and identity. This is who I am. This is who I am. Integrity and identity. Loving grace and truth is verses 8 through the end there. Loving grace and loving truth. Going forward, rolling with the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just a short message today. 3 Psalms. 6 o'clock at the tent tonight. We will reconvene if you're so inclined. Amen.